Our sermon text this morning is going to be from Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 22. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. I want to take this phrase, son, remember, especially remember, and we're going to look at some things that every Christian needs to remember. There are things that are obvious, as in Luke 16, but we need to be reminded of them. Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. This also reminds me of class this morning with Moses talking to Aaron, and it's like, now Aaron, remember, this is what I told you, that God is holy and he must be treated as holy. So the first thing I want us to consider is that we need to remember we may be our own worst enemies by opposing ourselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. There is so much in these verses right here, but just to point out a couple things. So notice he says, flee youthful lust, but pursue. So there is something that we are to run away from. There is something that we are to run toward. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. It's so easy to get drawn into something that we don't even need to be talking about. And what does he say happens with that? They generate strife. Be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. These are things that each one of us needs, to qualities that we need to have in our life and to grow in and to practice. Gentleness, able to teach. So many times people think, I will be able to teach someone when I'm older. Friends, we need to be teaching people now. We need to be able to. Verse 26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. We need to remember that we may be our own worst enemies by opposing ourselves. Sometimes we think and we look at the enemy that is out there, and I will tell you, I can appreciate that sometimes, many times, I am my own worst enemy. I'll start thinking about something and conjure up all of these things that this might happen or that might happen, or I'll start worrying about this or how's this person going to feel or what are they going to think? And it's all just imaginary things in my mind. We need to learn to control our mind. And these things that we flee and pursue, we have to be intentional in doing that. Or else, again, Satan will just suck us in to the chatter that's going on. We get caught up talking about so many things that are manufactured, that are not proven. People start getting divided. And all of that time, What are we doing for God? How much are we growing? How much are we studying His Word? Again, so many times we can be our own worst enemy just from this first verse, from not fleeing youthful lust and not pursuing righteousness. When it says pursue righteousness, this is something that we have to go after. It's not going to come to us. It's not going to happen by accident. We have to pursue it. We have to run after it. Well, something else that every Christian needs to remember, we need to remember that we should change our minds if we are wrong. You know, some people never want to admit that they are wrong about anything. We usually call those people stubborn people, but when someone admits that they are wrong, then they are wiser than they were yesterday. And someone that never admits that they are wrong probably aren't smarter, aren't wiser than they were yesterday. And they may be right on things, but again, it's like if you never see where you're in the wrong, how are you going to feel the power of the Word? How do we know what is right and what is wrong? We should change our minds if we are wrong. How do we know what's right and wrong? By opening up God's Word and reading what He says on a subject. Some people don't want to change. They don't want to know the truth. But you stop and think about people in the Bible that changed, religious people. You think about Paul. In Acts 22, beginning in verse 1, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. When they heard that he spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, 'I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of the Father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I also received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring in chains, even those who were to Jerusalem to be punished. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus, at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone round about me." And that's where we see the story turn, where Paul learned in his mind that he was wrong and he needed to change. He was very vehement against the Christians. He had authority. He says, "I persecuted this way to the death." He would have them bound in chains, deliver them to prisons, both men and women. And he thought that what he was doing was right, but he was wrong. Sometimes back to being my own worst enemy, I will look and point to people in denominations and say, can't they see that they are wrong? They need to change. And I need to remember to look at myself first. Is there something in my life that is not right that I need to change? In Acts 26 and verse 9, "Indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities." So we see how involved, how wrapped up he was in his religion. But when he was shown the truth, he changed. He changed his mind. He changed his thinking. Again, having people put to death, casting his vote against them, punishing them, and every synagogue compelled them to blaspheme, enraged against them. And I just have to stop and think about this, that Paul, as strong as he was against the Christians, he turned the opposite way. And then when he turned toward Christ, he was persecuted by the Jews, and they wanted to stone him and put him to death. He must have thought over and over of those people that he would drag out of houses with authority to have them put to death. Something like that would be hard to forget. But whatever we have done in the past, whatever we have believed in the past that is wrong, we should remember that we should change our minds when we find out that we are wrong. And the only way we can find out if we are wrong is if we open up God's Word and go and read it for ourselves. It's not about how we feel, not about what we think, not about what somebody else tells us. It's about what God says. Every Christian needs to remember to return good for evil. In Matthew chapter 5, you've heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. You read that first sentence, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And most of the people in the world would say, yeah, that's right, that's right. We love our neighbor and we hate our enemy. But what Christ is telling us, we need to remember, he is telling us, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. Is that easy? No, it's not easy. We have to remind ourselves. We do not, when someone treats us wrong, we do not strike back and treat them wrongly. And in addition to that, we do not strike back. We do not remain neutral either. Someone wrongs us and we say, well, I'll just let it go. I'll forget about it. He doesn't say, just be neutral and not do anything. He says, do good for evil. We aren't off the hook. Someone does us wrong, we are to do good. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good for those who hate you. We have to remember that. And that is very hard to do sometimes, but we need to remember that Christ died for our enemy just like he died for us. That soul is worth more than the whole world. We need to be praying for everyone, just as others pray for us. Romans 12, verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And when you do this, people are going to take notice that you're different. You know, I didn't expect you to do that. Why did you do that? And it opens the door to talk about Christ. And when he says, you'll heap coals of fire on his head, I've heard all kinds of discussions about this. All kinds of crazy discussions. But you just look back at that Eastern culture where they carried most of what they carried in a basket on top of their head. If someone's fire would go out at night, and they go and knock on your door, you give them coals to take back for them. Those coals then are going to keep them warm. Those coals are going to be able where they can cook food again. He's thirsty, give him a drink. So doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. This is showing an act of kindness. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But so many times our reaction might be someone does us wrong, we want to strike back and do wrong also. This is Christianity in action. Well, we also need to remember to not blindly follow another. Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. We see denominations full of people following lies. And I shouldn't just limit it to picking on denominations, but we see in the brotherhood, some people will blindly follow another man. But when you stop and think about the denominations, they aren't just following the Bible. They are following the Bible and then a creed book, a Bible, a doctrine book, a Bible and an issue book, a Bible and a prophecy book. They always have something else to add on to their Bible to come up with whatever they want to manufacture, and people believe it. Do not blindly follow another. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. I read that verse, and I can't get out of my mind the pictures of these stadiums across the country where there is some preacher with slick hair and a big smile and a book to sell, a promise to give you, that's just filled with people following that person. And it's sad because he's not teaching from the Bible. What happens when you teach from the Bible? You aren't going to have those big crowds. You're going to have just a few people that are interested in it. Matthew 7:13-14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. We should never blindly follow another man. I've seen on Facebook sometimes discussions, a preacher's preaching on this doctrine or that doctrine, and someone will write a rebuttal. I've seen a couple of those where within a few minutes there'll be like 50, 75, 100, 200 reactions and comments, and so much of it is people just picking sides. And I don't take my time to read those, but I was looking at one time, and someone that made a comment said, people ought to read what's being discussed before they pick a side. They were just blindly following. Well, I like this guy, I like that guy. Friends, we've got to love the truth. Love the truth no matter who says it, no matter where it is, love the truth. We see too, speaking of the Lord's church, different times throughout the history of this country, there have been men that have had beliefs on premillennialism. They come up, they make these study Bibles. There are two or three, I could tell you the names of them, that have premillennial teaching in them, because they have a different slant. And then people, well, do you have this Bible? No, I've got this one. Well, you need to get this one. And they are blindly following one another, and they are both going to end up in the ditch. Wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And again, a lot of people will want to go with the crowd because they think, well, this many people can't be wrong. They can be wrong. That broad way is going to be wrong. And in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul writes, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. We don't want to follow some man. We want to follow Christ. There you see these different sayings in graveyards on tombstones. And one of them was famous. I've heard this repeated several times. Stranger, Stop as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I, as I am now, you soon will be, and so prepare to follow me. So that sounds good on the surface. Someone reading this, they considered what it said, and then they added this onto the tombstone. He said, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. It's true, we're going to die. We're going to go somewhere, but I want to know where someone is going before I follow them. Every Christian needs to remember that Satan is trying to get your soul. What is Satan going to do? He's going to tempt us. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Friends, if Satan was not afraid to tempt Jesus, we should not be so high-minded to think he's not going to tempt us. He's going to come after us over and over and over. Satan is not going, we need to remember, Satan is not going to stop tempting us until our body lies cold and dead. We need to remember that Satan lies in John 8:44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is very deceptive. What he tells you is right is wrong. What he tells you is wrong is right. He's very deceptive. Satan steals the word in Luke 8:12. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. How many times have you seen someone say they wanted to be a Christian, they were baptized, and then it's a short time and you don't see them anymore? Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart. Some people don't put up a fight to keep that word in there. Some people don't have it enrooted in their heart. We need to remember that Satan persecutes in Revelation 2:10. Do not fear any of those things which are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you'll have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. This tribulation for 10 days just means it's for a set time. It's for a period. Be faithful until death. We are to be faithful to the point of death. We need to remember that. Too many times we are becoming soft in this country. We give in instead of stand up, but Satan is going to persecute us. Satan fashions himself into an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed him into an angel of light. There is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves and the ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So, how do you know if I am speaking the truth, or if I am an angel of light speaking from Satan? How do you know that? How do you know that? It's real easy. You open your Bible and read what the Bible says and see if what I say matches it or doesn't. But again, people have gotten away from spending time in God's Word. We need to remember Satan, that's his number one job. And our number one job is to worship God and to fight off Satan. We need to be busy doing that. He seeks to destroy us in 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So to be sober, it's not talking about being intoxicated. To be sober-minded is to have our senses trained where we can discern between right and wrong. There's a decision we have to make. Should I do this or do that? We need to be sober-minded. Vigilant, just another word for watchful. We have to always be watching because Satan is going to come after us. Every Christian needs to remember staying away from services and fellowship of God's people will cause you to become cold. You think about when I was younger, I used to do some camping, and you would have a campfire at night, and you'd go out away from that campfire, and you could see that light, and you'd want to come back in and get warm by that fire, by that that you were centered around. And the farther that you would go outside of the campsite, the colder you would get. There was a preacher that went and called on a member that regularly missed the church services. The family was gathered around. They had a big fireplace, and he wanted to go in and sit down by the fire. And he started talking to the man, and he reached down and he took a large red coal out from the bottom of the grate and set it out on the hearth and just sat there and didn't say another word. Time went by and time went on longer. It was kind of awkward. And the member said, "Okay, preacher, I get the lesson." Because that member that was in with the rest of them, that member, that ember that was in there was on fire. But you remove that and you set it by itself, it's going to cool down. It's going to cool down, it's going to die out, and then you're just going to have a cold little chunk of whatever it is. Friends, Revelation 3:15-16, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot, so that then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." This passage talking about being in Revelation 3:15, God wanting us cold or hot, reference to, as a lot of commentators will say, the different springs that were in the area. You have cold water that's very fresh for drinking, fresh cold water. You have hot springs that are beneficial for medicinal purposes. I like hot coffee. I don't like lukewarm coffee. God wants us hot. He wants us on fire. And we are not going to be on fire when we stay away from God's people. And lastly, some things every Christian needs to remember, that we must be joined to Christ. Some people will say, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I don't need the church because I am joined to Christ." Now, when you're a Christian, again, as we looked at this morning, when you're baptized, you're added to the universal church. You join a local church to work, because that's where the work, that's where the mission of the church is. And you cannot carry out your Christian activities unless you are joined to Christ. We've got to be joined to the right thing. Paul was joined to Christ. He said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Do you think that Paul could do some of the things he did on his own? Not without Christ, especially standing up to some of the Jews, standing up to some of the Judaizing teachers, the trials, the struggles that he faced. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." I have to ask myself, if I'm struggling with something, how joined am I to Christ? Am I coming apart? Have I fallen apart, or am I joined to Christ? Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. There's a story, another old story. Two travelers were going somewhere. They were going to get on a train. They didn't want to tip the porter, pay him anything, so they were going to get on the car by themselves. They got on, went in with their bags, sat down. The porter came in. He said, "Sirs, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to get off." "Get off? What do you mean?" He said, "This car isn't going anywhere. It's not coupled. It's not joined to the rest of the cars." We've got to be joined to Christ. We've got to be joined with the rest of the cars to keep going, so that we can make it to heaven. Friends, we need to remember these lessons before it's too late. Just like we started back in Luke with the rich man and Lazarus, by the time we die and we are in Hades lifting up our eyes, it's too late. 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." There are so many things that as a Christian we need to remind ourselves. This is just a few of them. Maybe there's someone here this morning that needs prayers, needs to make a confession. You've forgotten some of these things and you haven't been living as you ought to. You want to make your life right. You want to turn around and do what is right as the Bible tells us what to do to make your life right. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.